And I'm going to ask you to stand with me and let's read God's Word together from Ephesians chapter 6, page 952. We're going to begin reading, as we have been doing for weeks, at verse 10 and read through verse 18. All right, let's read the Word together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Thank you so much. You can be seated. My mom had two sisters. There was Aunt Mattie Mae and Aunt Annie Maud. Now, those were good Southern names. Aunt Mattie Mae was really somewhat like my mother, our mother. She was quiet. She was a little introverted. She would get tickled and not really bust out and laugh, but she giggled more. And Aunt Mattie Mae was always seemed to be very, you know, kind of calm, except Saturday afternoons around 3 o'clock. Because on Saturday afternoons at 3 o'clock, Florida Championship Wrestling came on from Tampa, Florida with Gordon Soley. Aunt Mattie Mae, because I would be over there sometimes on Saturdays, she would be sitting on the edge of her chair facing the television. She was totally involved with the hour-long wrestling matches. She did not believe the matches were fixed. She did not believe the blood was fake. She did not believe that the finish of the match was already planned. Instead, she believed that this was a battle of good versus evil, of right versus wrong, of light versus darkness. She would yell encouragement at the good wrestlers and boo the bad wrestlers, the evil ones. If the match got heated, or her wrestler was being treated unfairly by the bad, evil wrestler, she would jump up out of the chair and begin to fuss at the referee for letting this happen, this travesty of justice. When the program was over, she was exhausted. In our text that we read today, the Apostle Paul tells us, the King James Version says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our version that we read, the New Revised Standard, says we struggle against spiritual powers. I want to read to you three or four versions of verse 12 other than what we read from the New Revised Standard. The Amplified Bible puts it this way: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. The New Living Testament: for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The Phillips translation puts verse 12 this way: for our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world, and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. Last week, we looked at the first part of this passage where Paul writes and says that we are not wrestling or struggling against flesh and blood. And today, we're going to look at the latter part of that verse where he begins to tell us that we're wrestling or struggling against spiritual wickedness, against evil forces. So what do we know, what can we know about our opponent? Well, first of all, it's this. We do have enemies. We have enemies that are organized and structured, and their sole purpose is to destroy you and I. Someone told me one time, they were a member of a church I was pastoring, and one Sunday they came out of church, and I was, you know, greeting people, and this guy's name was Steve. He said, "Preacher, I just want you to know you've got a target on your back." And I'd really never thought about that. But all of us have targets on our backs that the enemy seeks to destroy us in whatever way he can do. Jesus, on the night in which he's going to be betrayed, Simon Peter has just boasted to him that, "Lord, if everybody betrays you and everybody turns against you, I won't. You can count on me." And Jesus said this to him in Luke 22, verse 31, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat." Are any of you aware of what a flour sifter is? You know, there's that kind that you hold the handle and it's got a little gadget, and you pull it back and forth and those blades run across the flour and sift it. And then there's that kind you can hold and it's got a crank and you turn, and these wheels or baskets are turning, and they're taking those lumps of flour and they're sifting them and turning them into just, just a fine, almost powdery substance. Jesus said, "Simon, Satan desires to sift all of you like wheat." All of us sometimes find ourselves in that sifter where it seems like everything that our life has been built around and all the things that we have thought were sure and steady foundations begin to be sifted. We begin to see things happen and we think, "I never thought I would see that happen." I can remember our dad was about 5'9" tall, weighed about 185 pounds, and he was just solid muscle. He was just big and just built from years and years of plumbing. And you never in your mind think that one day you'll see your dad just barely able to walk. You don't picture that. But that as we go through life and our life gets sifted and we see things that we think, "I never thought I would live to see that happen. I never thought that would occur. I always thought I could depend on my health. I could depend on my finances. I could depend on my job. I could depend on my marriage. I could depend on all these things." And you see those things being sifted. The Greek defines that word sift, and it says it this way: it is by inward agitation in order to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. Did you grab that definition? Sift is meaning by inward agitation to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. Satan wants to sift you, to agitate you, to try your faith until you reach a point where you feel like, "I can't take any more." John 10:10, Jesus described our enemy. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy." Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. John writes and says, "I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah.'" And now listen to this part. "For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down." Did you know that because you're a follower of Christ, there is a demonic evil spirit that is continually before the throne of God accusing you and blaming you and speaking words of con. We see this in the book of Job, where this evil spirit comes and God speaks and says, "Where have you been?" And he says, "I've been roaming through and fro throughout the whole earth." And God says, "Have you ever seen anyone like my servant Job?" And what did he do? He didn't agree. He didn't say, "You're right, God. He really loves you." He says, "I tell you what, you take your hand away from him and let me touch him, and you'll find out what kind of man he really is." We have an accuser who is accusing you and I, John said, day and night. Easton's Bible Dictionary defines that word accuser with these words, and I quote, "Satan is styled the accuser of the brethren as seeking to uphold his influence among men by bringing false charges against Christians with the view of weakening their influence and injuring the cause with which they are identified." There is an evil demonic spirit working in the world, and part of their goal, part of their plan, part of their mission is to do everything they can to steal, to kill, to destroy, to seek to undermine, to seek to accuse, to seek to hit that target that's on the back of all of us. And we need to be aware of that. And unfortunately, many times in the church, we're not aware of that. We're so caught up in all these things that we don't realize that we are in a battle for life. We are in a battle for the lives of our family. We're in a battle for the lives of our friends. We're in a battle for the lives of our loved ones. We're in a battle for the fate of nations and the fate of worlds. So how do I respond? Well, first of all, the point of the message today is not for you to leave today looking for a devil behind every bush. I don't know if you remember the Flip Wilson show. You remember when Flip Wilson would come out and he'd say, "The devil made me do it"? How do I respond? What is the message? It's not that we're to live in fear, that we're to cower, that we're to be, you know, in this state of turbulence. Oh no, you know, everything that's happening to me, it's got to be the devil. I ran out of gas, it's got to be the devil. I left the door open in the car last night, the battery's dead. Devil did it. No, that's not the purpose today. But the purpose is today is to know how to respond to this enemy that we have. So how do we respond? The first one is this: we do not live in fear. Paul wrote Timothy and he said, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The church, in the midst of this, we have a message to this world. We have a message to those who are hurting. We have a message to those who are in bondage. We have a message to those who are sick in body, who are sick in mind, who are sick in spirit. We have a message to those who are bound in addictions today. We have a message to those who are struggling. We have a message to those who are depressed. And the message is this: the battle has been won. Jesus won the battle at Calvary. When Jesus, with his last breath, said, "It is finished," he meant the battle is won. This war is over. There's guerrilla action going on out there, but if you read the end of the book, what you find out is Christ lives. Christ reigns. His body on earth is an overcoming body. I love what it says in John chapter 1, I believe it's around verse 5. It says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it." That is what we stand upon. We are light. We are life. We are the salt of the earth. We have a good word to speak today. We have a wonderful message to share with the world today. When we hear people that say, oh, it's terrible, it's awful, I don't know what's going on, we can say, let me tell you, I've got good news for you. God is in control. He has not abdicated the throne. He is still in control, and we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. We can say to those who are sick in body and sick in mind, I know a healer. We can say to those who are bound in addiction, I know someone who can set you free. We can say to that one who thinks the only time they can find love is to buy it, we can say to them, I can tell you of someone who loves you just like you are, right where you are. We can say to that one who says, I can't be saved, there's no hope for me, we can say to them, let me tell you about the grace and the goodness of God. We can say to that one who feels like I've reached the end of my rope, we can say to them, let me tell you something, God, don't worry about your rope. God's got you in His hands. We've got a message today. We need to be sharing that message, not cowering, not living in fear, not saying, oh my God, what's going on in Washington? Oh my Lord, what are we going to do? Our message is not based upon what's going on in Washington. Our message is based upon what happened at Calvary and what's going on in heavenly places today. All right, I'm quit preaching Pentecostal and go back to Methodist. Our message today is not to glorify the devil. Our message today is to inform the saints, to inform the body of Christ. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 10, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. We don't have to shrink back in fear. We don't have to live in worry and consternation and anxiety. We don't have to say, I don't know what's going to happen to my boy. I don't know what's going to happen to my girl. We go to the place of prayer. We go into our prayer closet, and there we begin to wage battle. And we say, oh God, you see my boy. You see where he is right now. And in the name of Jesus, I'm calling him back home in Jesus' name. We don't fret and worry and eat Tums day and night because we got so much acid because I'm so worried. No, we go and say, Lord, you are victorious in me, through me, and with me. Peter said this, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, speaking of our enemy. He says, resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And then lastly, we know our enemy. We resist him. And then lastly, we're fixed. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, be immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Long, long time ago, we used to sing a little chorus that said, Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree that's planted by the waters, and I shall not be moved. That's who we are. Psalm 1 said, we're like trees planted by rivers of water. We bring forth our fruit in our season. Our leaf does not wither, and whatever we do shall prosper. We're fixed. We're steadfast. We're standing on the rock. We're immovable. We may be battered. Paul said we are crushed, but we're not destroyed. We are forsaken. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We are knocked down, but we get back up. I love what the proverb said. He said the righteous fall 7 times, but they keep getting up. We keep getting up. Because we have made a decision that was not a verbal decision, that was not signing a piece of paper decision. We made a decision in our heart. Christ is my Savior. Christ is my Lord. And no matter what I face, and no matter what comes against me, I have made up my mind. I have made a decision. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to do what He said. I'm going to follow His example. I'm going to live for Him. And I believe as I live for Him, God is going to make a way. We met a young lady yesterday who was telling us that she moved to Tallahassee after going through a divorce some 7 years ago. And she said, my credit was ruined. She said, I had to give up my car. I had to leave our home. And she left with 4 children. Came to Tallahassee. Getting a new start on life. And she was telling us, she said, let me tell you what God's done. She said, I just bought a house. She said, I found a good job. I restored my credit. I just bought a house. The house was fully furnished. I didn't even have to go out and buy furniture. God provided me a house that was fully furnished. And she said, I want to tell you, God didn't give me cheap furniture. She said, I've got good furniture that's going to last for years and years. And she said, you know why? Because God is my husband. And God is the father of my children. And God is my provider. And God is the one who takes care of me. That is our message. That is where we stand. God will make a way. We're fixed on that. We've settled that. We're steadfast. We're immovable on that. That God is for me. And I love what the Scripture says. If God be for us, who can be against us? And if the Lord be on our side, of whom shall I be afraid? I'm reading a book right now that I bought a few weeks ago. It's regarding the generals of the American Civil War. And I'm amazed at the number of Civil War battles that basically were stumbled into. They didn't have radar. They didn't have drones. They didn't have satellites. They didn't have walkie-talkies. Many of the armies didn't even have cavalry, soldiers to ride out and look for them. So what the generals would do is they would send an order down to send out almost like a patrol. They would send out a group of soldiers who would go out on a reconnaissance mission just to see, is there anybody out there? And sometimes they would stumble into an enemy army that was laying there. And the next thing you know, within a day, there's a major Civil War battle going on. They would send these scouts out to look. And the scouts would run into the pickets, the sentries that the opposing army had set around them. And before long, a few shots would be fired. And those few shots would then turn into a major battle in which thousands of men would be engaged in warfare. It's a good description of the battles that we're in. Our enemy sends out little probes looking. Where am I weak? Where am I vulnerable? Where's my hot spot? How can I make an inroad here? And so we expect that. We know that's out there. Now, we don't look at our wife and say, you devil, you, leave me alone. That would cause a battle that none of you men are prepared for. But we understand. And this is why it is so important for us to know what this book says and to spend time with the Lord in prayer. Lord, you know what this day holds. And I'm asking you right now, you begin to prepare me for what this day holds. And so when that probe comes and that little push comes, we recognize it for what it is. That we're not wrestling, struggling, fighting against flesh and blood. It's not my boss. It's not my spouse. It's not my kid. It's not the traffic. It's not the car that just cut me off. It's not the one who's Well, I won't even tell you what some of those drivers do. It's the spiritual realm that as a follower of Christ is going on around me. We recognize that. and we just say, Lord, you're with me. You're with me. And no matter where the probe comes from, and no matter what the probe touches upon, you're with me. So today, we recognize that we have an enemy. We recognize that enemy has one goal, and that is to destroy. As Jesus said, to steal, to kill, to destroy. But more importantly than that, we recognize that our God is a mighty God. That our God is Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees ahead and makes provision. That our God is El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. That our God is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. That our God is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord who is our righteousness. That our God is Jehovah Rohi, the God who is our shepherd. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner. Our God is the mighty God. Our God is the victorious God. Our God is the overcoming God. And our God, your God, your Father, my Father, has told us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, even to the ends of the earth. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adores Him. What a mighty God we serve. And so, mighty God, we thank You that You're for us and not against us. We thank You that we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. We thank You, Lord, that the enemy is a liar and the father of all liars. We thank You, Lord, that he may go about as a roaring lion, but we resist him. We are steadfast. We are fixed, immovable. We thank You today, Father, for the power that there is in the name of Your Son, Jesus. For the power that there is in the blood of Your Son, Jesus. And Lord, today, we thank You that You know the plans that You have for us. And they're plans to bless us and not to curse us, to give us a hope and to give us a future. We praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ken's coming to lead us in our closing hymn.